This is All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, Director of Lincoln City Libraries. Today, I'm happy to welcome back to All About Books guest reviewer Shirley Snavey. Shirley is the Executive Director of Vision Maker Media, whose mission is to empower and engage Native people to tell stories. Vision Maker Media offices are in Lincoln at the NET building. Shirley is an enrolled member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe of South Dakota. Shirley, welcome back to All About Books.
Thanks, Pat.
You've brought along a book called The Sea of Grass by Walter Echohawk. Tell us about it.
The name Echohawk to the Pawnee is like Smith to the English or Begay to the Navajo. Mm-hmm. It's a very common name. I would like to say that Indian country is certainly blessed by this family. They're civil rights attorneys, journalists, psychologists, nonprofit CEOs, and now Walter makes the family into the novelist realm. Mm-hmm. As a Native American rights attorney since 1973, he's worked at the epicenter of a great social movement along visionary tribal leaders. Amazing landmark laws such as the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, we call it NAGPRA, the American Indian Religious Freedom Act, and he's litigated many of the epic struggles and has written extensively about the rise of modern Indian nations as a Native American author with firsthand experiences. One of his books is In the Courts of the Conqueror, the 10 Worst Indian Law Cases Ever Decided.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been a friend of mine and acquaintance for a number of years, as many of his family members. About 4 years ago, I ran into him in Washington, D.C. at a conference, and he told me that he was going to visit Lincoln soon and that he was bringing some of his relatives with him, and that what they were going to do was just go around and explore the sacred sites, the traditional sacred sites of the Pawnee. You know, the Pawnee used to be the tribe that roamed these areas, you know, in Kansas, into Colorado, and, mm-hmm. and Nebraska. This was their territory. So this became the research for his book.
Oh, I see.
And what he wanted to do was write the Alex Haley roots for the Pawnee Nation. I thought that sounded great. And so they did their research, and Rick Edwards at the Center for Great Plains Studies had them here in residency to help cover their expenses of this mm-hmm. research trip. And that at the end of it, they did a public lecture. He read a passage from the book, and I thought it was dreadful. And I thought, oh, my gosh. Then when the book came out, I thought, well, okay, I better give it a shot.
Sure.
I don't know what happened to that passage, but it wasn't there at all. It wasn't there anymore.
I see.
Which is great. I mean, this is a really good read. And I just really like the way that he's laid this all out. You know, my mother's an author, Virginia Driving Hawk Snavey, and she did a book called Completing the Circle, which is like our roots. And mm-hmm. it's the history of the women in our family. And our tribal heritages of Lakota, the Rosebud Sioux tribe, Northern Ponca, Santee, and the Yankton tribe. So, mm-hmm. You know, basically when you take a look at the Missouri River, that's where my people have been.
Oh, okay. I see.
And so that book is a lot like his in the fact that it talks about the people, the real people that, you know, were involved in making history. But also woven in is the traditional legends. My mother tells me that when she was young, my grandma Driving Hawk, would tell her these stories. And she thought, well, how wonderful that she would make up the story about the white buffalo calf woman bringing the sacred pipe to us, and not realizing until she got into college that these were our stories of the tribe and not just the personal story that her grandmother was telling her.
Oh, what a difference.
So anyway, you know, that's what you're going to find in this book. Mother's book is straight up nonfiction.
Okay.
But this book is historical fiction. And, you know, it's the literary genre in which the plot takes place in a setting located in the past. And he frames this book with the stories of real people, real places, and real events. And he weaves traditional Pawnee legends that tie the characters and the events together. He told me that he went back as far as he could, 10 generations. Alex Haley and his roots went back 7 generations, but that was a few years ago, so now I bet he could do 10 generations. He documented 9, but then as he was completing the book, his first great-grandchild was born. So this actually covers 10 generations back. And it starts with Calico Cloth Woman, who lived around the turn of the 1800s, about 1790. The records show that she died in 1864. So when you look at that time frame, there is just a massive amount of change happening to not just the Pawnee, but Native Americans in general, as the increasing number of, you know, primarily European settlers came in a wave to stake their claim in this new world. Calico Cloth Woman was an orphan that was adopted into a family. The stories of, I really admire the fact that he told this from a woman's point of view, because when you look at her life, she bore seven sons that all turned out to be just incredible leaders, just like, you know, Walter's family and his brothers and his sisters and cousins, you know, just really a commitment to bettering the people. So I really appreciated that. And then plus he takes a look at this from the female perspective. There's some things that I wish he had included in the book for someone who's not Pawnee and not really a Nebraskan either by birth. There's a map in the beginning of the book. The map is there to place the historical events in the context of geography. Now, when I asked him about this, he said that the Holy River, we know that as the Missouri River. So when you frame that, because that's a pretty much, you know, a landmark that divides the borders of Nebraska and Iowa and in South Dakota, then you can understand and place the other things. The Loup River is the river of many potatoes, and that is a very important river, and a lot of events are placed in that area. And mountain that touches the sky is Pike's Peak. So this is their area of ranging. There are 127 relatives that are talked about in this book.
Is that right?
Isn't that incredible?
A lot of people.
The other thing that drives me crazy about this book, but at the same time I really appreciate it, is that he uses so many Pawnee words. He'll say, this is what it is, or this is a tribe, and this is what the English is, but not always. There was one word in there that he kept saying this over and over again in the book, and I just like, what the heck is that? Skiri, S-K-I-R-I. Native American languages weren't written. And so, I mean, you could really spell anything any way you want.
Sure.
But anyway, he said, no, it's Skidi. It's just a band of Pawnee. But in the back, there's a pronunciation key, and some of the characters are named as well. Interesting part of this is the research that a person has to do to go back into the end. You know, and we get calls, I'd probably say about once a week, someone randomly calls us because we're a national Native American organization and say, you know, my grandma told me I was Blackfoot. Can you tell me how to find my relatives? It's actually not that difficult because everything's tied to the federal government records. And they can go back, you know, many generations. And, you know, my mother's a historian, and so she was able to take that back to the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, we go back, you know, to the 1700s, which is, you know, pretty good for a bunch of Indians that really weren't discovered by white people until 1803, when the Lewis and Clark expedition came through. The other thing that it is very interesting about this book is that it is historical fiction, because he can't explain why a lot of things happened. But one of the things that I find fascinating about this is that a kernel of corn talks to Calico Cloth Woman. You know, corn is really important to a lot of Native American tribes, but we know that's particularly valuable to the Pawnee, because when they moved to Oklahoma, they couldn't grow their corn. It just wasn't suited for that climate. And now with people like a relative of his, Deb Echohawk, over near Grand Island in Kearney, that they have replanted this corn and are growing this corn, you know, back from these days of Calico Cloth Woman. But the kernel of corn talks to her and tells her a story, and that she's going to face trials and hardships, but, you know, she's going to be all right at the end. It's a fascinating story, and it's a page-turner, and I'm really happy that he was able to document this history of Nebraska that nobody knows about, because, you know, the Pawnee aren't here anymore. Roger Welsh has provided them with, you know, a great gift of land, and they do come back for ceremonies, but they're not like, you know, the Northern Ponca and the Omaha and the Winnebago and the Santee that are in our borders now as tribes.
Where they are living in that place.
Yep.
So as we give maybe a big overview of this book, The Sea of Grass, historical nonfiction, I take it from what you've said that it's told in several different voices?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yeah.
So as the characters evolve and time moves forward, different people step forward to tell the story. And it sounds from what you say, and I find this an interesting balancing act. Much of it is based on the actual life of the Echo Hawk family. Some things are tribal stories and heritage that are woven in. And then a few things, of course, the book being fiction, that are entirely fictional.
Right, right.
A person who reads this book who is of the same background will recognize a lot of what's in there. Someone such as myself, who's maybe not as familiar, will be able to use this book as an immersion in an experience that I have not had.
The Pawnee were different in the fact that they weren't forced to relocate, like the Northern Ponca, you know, that were marched out of here, you know, in May. At the time of starvation. But the Pawnee saw the writing on the wall, and the Santee were giving them such a hard time, they decided, all right, we're just getting out of here. And they, you know, they moved under their own terms to Nebraska, or to Oklahoma.
Quite a story. And I'm also intrigued by what you referred to in terms of a revision process in any book. It sounds like you heard a portion of an early version.
Yeah.
That was revised, and I think that that's a part of the publishing process that happens before a book usually ends up in our hands, ready to read.
Exactly. Yeah, the drafts and writing everything. But, you know, I mean, this is a, you know, 4 or 5 year process for him to do all the research. And his brother Roger really, really did help a lot because in the 1970s, I mean, he's a historian. I mean, Walter's a lawyer. But Roger recorded all these interviews with the elders in the 1970s, you know, so a lot of them were around, you know, at the turn of the century when a lot of this stuff came down.
So we had that information to use.
Yep.
Shirley, what do you usually read for your recreational reading?
I read Native American books, both fiction and nonfiction. You know, it's my job to understand tribes. We work with tribes and television stations all over the country to tell these Native stories. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been fascinated with Native American literature.
Well, Shirley, thank you so much for being my guest on All About Books today.
Thank you, Pat.
The book that Shirley Snavey reviewed is The Sea of Grass by Walter Echo Hawk, published in 2018 by Fulcrum Publishing. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online when you visit netnebraska.org/radio. For All About Books, I'm Pat Leach.